Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes. Let's love.
I can't run, but I can hurt. It's me, Kurt.
Finish it out, Poodle.
Living in the shadows of death.
Shadow of death.
Okay. That is a kind of an obscure track off that Celine Dion album.
Y'all,
but both of us know it backwards and forwards.
Come at me.
I think that album's 10 years old now.
Oh, it is such a good album. Y'all, how fitting that we're talking about Celine Dion.
We knew every track on that album.
Oh, how fitting that we're talking about Celine on Pride Weekend. Happy Pride Weekend.
Pride Weekend in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. Well, but yeah. It is maybe Pride Weekend because this was the weekend. Wasn't the 26th Stonewall or was it 28th Stonewall Riots?
I think maybe it was 26th.
So like the last weekend was, and I think this is the same Pride
Actual
Weekend.
Actual Pride Weekend.
In New York City, I think, too.
So, usually New York is earlier.
It is.
I think New York's...
Oklahoma City's was today, and it got rained out. So anyway,
sounds fitting for Oklahoma. Yeah.
Thunderstorms.
What about Ardmore Pride? When's that?
Don't think they have it. I worry.
You said there's an event called Pecan Pride.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, there is Pecan Pride. Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do that.
Oh, this is someone on Twitter said
it was in Waurika, and then they moved it to Hilton.
It sounds like Maddie grew up in 1955, but it was actually 1995.
That's fair. That's fair. That's a really accurate assumption. But yes, y'all, that's a great
reality gaze.
Reality gaze, y'all. This is Happily Ever After, season 6, episode 10, part 1, Shadows of Doubt.
Remember when we saw her, Celine Dion?
Yeah.
And she played a lot of that album, but remember it was really dark and she had just sung something. And in the dark, she warbled, "Whispers in the morning."
And Poodle grabbed my arm.
And my completely,
his legs gave out. And I had to hold him up. And we were in Anaheim, y'all. Anaheim. And we got decent seats. We were on the floor, but we were still back.
Yeah.
It was just like Orange County people, like old people that love Celine Dion.
Especially and there in the front days. Where you were. Yeah.
Yeah. And they all just stared at us like we were... like lizards coming to life.
The gays were over there, but they were in a little bit of cheaper seats for Anaheim gays.
Yeah, for Anaheim.
Yeah,
y'all. That's a tip if you're in LA. You often get better seats if you go to Anaheim. Anyway,
but then you have to go to Anaheim. So there's a Sonic on the way.
There's a Sonic all the way and a lot more chain restaurants. So you can always go to a Red Lobster.
I know we talk about things like someone said, you guys are always talking about Sonic. There's Sonics everywhere. I'm like, not in LA, bitch.
Not in L. Y'all, we have to drive at least 45 minutes to an hour to get Sonic. It'll Google Maps will tell you it's not far away. But with traffic, it is.
Yeah, it's. I think the furthest one is probably it's in Orange County, and
if
I think
I had a lot of money, I would buy a Sonic franchise and put it in LA.
You know why we don't have them here? Because the franchise fees are exorbitant. That's why.
For Sonic?
For Los Angeles area.
For Los Angeles. Oh yes, for LA. Yeah, y'all. LA's not good for business people.
Yeah, this is inside baseball. Let's move on.
Real quick, hey, we have a big announcement in that, y'all, we've mentioned that we are going to start covering Below Deck Mediterranean. We're starting with season six of Below Deck.
We're dipping our toes in the slutty, slutty Bravo pool.
Ahoy, gay tees.
Yeah, we already have, we've done Southern Charm, and we more than dipped our foot in it. I've kind of put my head in it a couple of times and thrown my head up like Cindy Crawford.
She has.
Below Deck, Southern Charm, and Summer House.
Yeah, that's true. I forget about Summer House. Oh, I want to forget about Summer House, but sadly,
it's coming. Summer House,
Winter House is coming.
Summer Treat, Winter Charm, or what? Summer House, Winter Charm. God, that's a terrible title.
It's a terrible title. And I just saw an Instagram video where Craig is just filming himself driving, and it makes me nervous that he's filming while he's driving. But he looks so gorgeous driving. I'm into that show, so I'm going to watch it. But so we're doing Below Deck Med, y'all. That comes out on if you notice, you're listening to this podcast right now on Sunday night, or you're watching it on our intimate portrait on our $15 Patreon tier. Hello, everybody.
I forgot I was being filmed.
So
did I look interested enough in what you're talking about?
Never. Never.
Someone sent me a message that said, I love how disinterested you look sometimes when Maddie is running.
Always. Always.
I actually am interested. My face just kind of goes dead.
It's actually not disinterested. I mean, yes, there's some of that. It's more of, y'all, the gay DD is real. Poodle is thinking about veneers.
I'm thinking about something else.
He's thinking, is he going to LASIK his asshole? Like, he's thinking of other things.
And those of you who are wondering what I'm drinking that looks slightly green.
It's Gatorade.
It is a mixture of Gatorade and water, because this one had a stomach flu this week. And it's not been easy. I'm feeling the best I have today.
I've been caretaking for two now.
So
it's been a lot.
This is something I was talking about on our Too Hot to Handle, and people have come at me, and I need to talk about it because this is a conspiracy that goes deep.
This is when I should, when, y'all, when I say this is going to be a short show.
The taste of Gatorade has changed. People said, I've thought the same thing too, but I can't find anything about it. This is a conspiracy who knows how many people had to die to take this. Anyway, people have said Gatorade is different. Also, a lot of people are getting stomach flus because a lot of people are coming back into
contact with people. Yeah.
And supposedly a lot of people are going around. Didn't have the vomiting kind, just the downstairs kind.
Well, on that note,
he didn't know that.
Let's get back to my announcement you interrupted with your sick story.
Comment me if you think Gatorade has changed or you know anything about it, because the flavor is very different.
Comment, Poodle. I don't give a shit.
What if we expose some massive, massive, like,
we're not
corporate wise,
we're not
Gatorade.
Okay, so we want to. So Below Deck is happening, y'all. Below Deck comes on Monday night. So we're Big news, we're having a big schedule change for right now. From now on, our 90-day shows, part one will drop on Sunday night, and part two is going to drop
night
on,
it airs.
On Monday night. So part one is on Sunday night, part two is on Monday night, 11 p.m. That's when we drop them. And then Below Deck Med is going to air, it drop on Tuesday night, the day after it airs. So that's going to be the new schedule in our free feed. And then in July, we'll get all fucked because Darcy and Caribbean Love all air on Sunday and Monday too, and we'll just figure it out then.
Yo, we're gonna be raw dogging your ears.
Raw dogging.
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night.
Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. It's Must Queen TV. Poodle.
Speaking of Queen, talk
about our charity and the Sissy Squad. Since
this month it is Pride Month. This month, if you're in the Sissy Squad, and if you're not our Sissy Squad, you can still donate. We do a monthly charity, and members give, and we usually do too. And all of our merch proceeds that you guys buy, or anyone buys, goes directly to this charity for the month. This month, our charity is the Allie Forney Center. I can't speak.
Allie Forney Center.
That its main goal is to keep or to help LGBTQ plus youths to get out of homelessness and to teach them the tools to kind of stay out of or to stay out of being homelessness.
And if you're not in a Facebook group, you can always donate to them. Someone did that just the other day. So yep, That's all that's about. What else? Do we have another announcement?
We have another episode of Foodie Call coming out. We've done two, and the next episode we're going to do is Lauren and Alexi's what they call family-friendly meal.
We're hoping it'll come out the end of this week, but we'll see.
I'm going to jazz it up. So your boy's going to jazz it up with a little something because I don't know if you saw it. No shade.
But I love a good roast chicken.
That chicken that they made was sad. It looked sad. So I'm going to zhuzh this roast chicken up and maybe make some Israeli salad.
Remember, we're not the Food Network.
Also, neither of them really know what they're doing.
They don't know what they're doing. No,
they order out every night, or they make boneless, skinless chicken breasts.
I'm all for you zhuzhing it, I'll be honest.
Yeah. The chicken looked like it had been cooked, but it just looked mildly angry.
Okay, Pride Month. You stuffed that cock with something exciting.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Is that it for announcements?
I love it how I wrote all these down. You keep asking me if that is.
You wrote them down. I don't remember them now.
Yes, we've done show schedule below deck. Yes, we're done.
Oh, my God.
That's 10 minutes,
y'all. We made it.
And I went off about Gatorade.
For five of it.
What? The taste has changed, and y'all know it.
Let's talk about something that also makes all of us sick to our stomach, Ronald and Tiffany.
The next installment of Tiffany. I've also wrote down, as we continue to actively watch this speeding train towards where the track is out over the trestle, that's what it feels like to me.
This is
just heading towards disaster.
I wrote down, I thought I wanted to say on the show, y'all, this is what the disintegration of a relationship looks like.
Oh, isn't it awful?
It is, but it's also kind of riveting because we've all been either in similar circumstances but we see the crumbling of it.
And it's different.
They don't follow each other on social media, but then she made a Father's Day post about him.
And it's different than Mike and Natalie, who's also crumbling. But I still think that relationship was kind of fake anyway.
I think less and less. I think she's just that Looney Tunes.
And he's just so fucking awful.
He's horrible. So y'all, she's in South Africa. And
South Africa.
And she's in, that's what I said. And she,
South Africa, man.
She is there. Yeah, South Africa, man.
They say man after everything.
They do.
Sinjin does that too.
She already is starting on Ronald because she says Ronald has six fucking eggs and some hot sauce. He doesn't even have salt because there's nothing in the fridge. And She walks into, you know, because y'all, Ronald, last minute decided, my boy, I'm going to make him a room in the garage. And so he painted everything. But then
he painted the floor, obviously.
And he didn't want them to walk in on the wet floor, so he put cardboard down, but he forgot to take it up. So now the cardboard, guys, do y'all know how hard that is to get cardboard off a painted cement?
Keep going, my boy.
Ronald and
Daniel,
thank you, are taking cardboard off the floor, and Tiffany's saying, yeah, don't you think it would have been good if, I don't know, you went and got groceries and less expensive instead of putting together a whole room?
Now, I want to say, both of them, this is interesting because I was thinking, both these couples we just mentioned, Mike and Natalie, neither one of them, and this is not really about this is about a language and how they are understanding one another. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them, just metaphorically, one is speaking Greek and the other is speaking Swahili. Yes. Or something. Mm-hmm. They are not even close to understanding. This is not even love language or anything. This is just communication 101.
Yeah.
Neither one of them is validating anything the other is doing.
That is very true. I wrote that too.
One will. And that's the thing. I think Tiffany thinks she has validated Ronald, and she thinks, but
she talks at him.
Tiffany's superpower is shaming.
Yep. That's
what I wrote. She's really good at it.
And what everything that she's saying here, it's not that she's wrong. It's not that she's not justified.
No. It's partially part of the way she says it. And
y'all, she is dating or she is married to someone from a very masculine culture. Yep. And she is emasculating him. Yep. Over and over.
Yeah. And he's a mama's boy. He's a ridiculous mama's boy.
Ronald probably feels like she's literally just ripping his balls off repeatedly and chewing them up.
And also, it's almost always in front of Daniel. Do you notice that? It's so gross. God.
It's not going to be good. You didn't like it when I said Daniel's going to be pole dancing one day, but I still stand by it. Straight bar, gay bar, I don't know where.
They don't have any groceries. And so she's basically saying, well, you spent all the money. And instead of phrasing this of, I'm so glad you made Daniel a room. But in the same breath saying, but spend all the money on groceries that you should have made a room. It's kind of like everything he did do good, he's going to get no credit for it.
She's not validating. Yeah, she's not.
Let's keep it real. Ronald is a ridiculous misogynistic man baby.
I wanted to say that. Y'all, we're not saying that every father should get patted on the back and be like, oh my God, you're parenting, because it is true. Women just do this with no fucking thanks all the time as mothers. So we're not saying that. I think you're saying it's how she communicates with him. Well, if you want to understand Ronald and where he's coming from, you're going to have to validate and thank him for to get what you want.
Because he's a spoiled child.
And both Tiffany and Ronald feel like they both, again, feel right. They both feel justified. And it's so I'm not going to try to put myself in your shoes and talk to you on your perspective, because you should just understand mine.
Two martyrs don't belong in a relationship. Can't have two. You can only have one.
Bravo.
They're both martyrs. They both love playing the victim. Tiffany took great acclaim.
She does love, yes.
And the thing is, you guys, she's almost always right. But it's the way it's said, and it's the na 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 way that she kind of lords it over him that makes Ronald, and she knows it pushes Ronald's buttons.
And she does know. And let's just be honest, she's way more intelligent than Ronald.
Totally.
And so Ronald feels that. He feels stupid all the time.
I have there are very few people of the Nye Day universe who I have less respect for than Ronald.
I agree.
He's so awful.
But if you look at the difference of like Kalani and Asuelu and like what's happening in their relationship, He is, I think Kalani is the brains of that relationship as well. She has learned, though, how to talk to him, and which has in turn helped him learn how to talk to her.
Right.
And none of this
neither
is
him or trying.
Well, there's no offie in this. They don't have, their safe word is you fucked up in this relationship.
There's no fire word.
There's no fire. It's just cold, cold debt. And so
it's just that blue paint burning my retinas.
It looks horrible. And okay. Even Ronald, when they're cleaning up the paint, and she's like, pardon me, Tiffany says, well, I'm here, so now we can go buy groceries. And Ronald's like, it's not a big deal. And then he says to Daniel, let's go, my boy. Let's go.
And let's prove a point.
Let's prove a point.
Right in front of him. It's and like almost like he's trying to gang up. Y'all, the layers of relationship, like sludge for them, is just disgusting. I do want to say one more thing about this color of room. I refer to it as offensive. And it also makes me fear for my safety that I'm afraid it's going to jump out and like accuse me of like cheating on someone and like so, assault me.
It's so glossy. It looks like a sex dungeon.
The room looks like, they got looks like high someone's gloss, murdered in there.
Yes, high gloss paint so that way you can clean up the jizz or the blood or both.
Look at the blood spatters.
It freaks me out. It's not a nice color room. So they decide, they go to the market, and she's kind of, there's like this, oh, Tiffany's in a new place. She's freaking out at meat market and all that kind of stuff.
No, and it's also weird. She's like, who likes mushrooms? Lots of people.
And so, again, yeah, that's true. Like
Shame.
Like addict behavior, Ronald is like, so let's get this. Let's get this. Yep. Oh, let's get all. He is buying everything and anything in the store because now he wants to overcompensate and get all this
and
food for his family and make them stay. And guess what? They go to check out and he's short $300.
Shocker. Didn't see that coming.
Wonder how much that room cost to build. I bet you it cost about $300.
And extra cardboard because it's stuck to the floor.
Yes.
I think they tried to add in some moments of funny, of Tiffany talking about Poloni being pink Poloni.
Wasn't funny.
She just sounded dumb. She sounded like an entitled American who doesn't understand any food.
She just sounded really judgmental.
Yeah.
It made her sound just with everything else. And so they're standing in line and Tiffany says to him in the grocery line, well, you don't have $300. Don't you think the room wasn't as important now? And Ronald's kind of like, maybe. Like, again,
In front of everyone.
And she says, wow, my first day in South Africa, and Ronald can't already pay for the groceries. Already.
The thing is, I'm starting to have no sympathy for her when she talks. Well, it's out. My sympathy's for her out. Because he has told her who she
was
so many times.
As Maya Angelou said, people show you, when they show you who they are, believe them. She has not believed at all. And he has shown you from day one.
And she's still shocked by it.
She's still, I think too, Tiffany gets off on.
Yes.
I think.
Say that again. Keep going. This is important.
She's insecure and has doubts about herself. She gets off on being right and being an authority.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean that in an asshole way. I just think that well, think about what she's doing for her. She likes doing makeup tutorials. She likes being a makeup expert. She likes Tiffany wants to be the smartest person in the room. And that's fine. Some people want that. But when you get with someone like Ronald, it's not a good combination because
you're always going to be the smartest person
in the room.
You're
always the smartest person. But Ronald is a dangerous person. I don't mean like dangerous like murder, but I just mean
I don't know. I'm scared of him. I'm
Ronald
telling you.
Is a dangerous personality because he's somebody who is not intelligent but thinks they are.
Yep. There's something about him that would I'm always worried that he's gonna like reach out and swat her. There's just something about him. And
I think he's got he has a lot of pent up anger, and I think that probably Ronald has a lot of. It's interesting with some people that are mama's boys, there can be like you're very comfortable with women, but then some mama's boys also can have
hate women, have
a resentment of women, because if they had a strong mother figure, sometimes that mother figure really dictated a lot of their life.
Yeah.
And they resent that. And I think Ronald could be more of that. I think probably he is married to someone that is similar to his mother.
Totally. 100%.
And he doesn't mind that person as a mother, but he can't stand that person as a wife.
Boy, it all went back to Freud, didn't it?
But really does, a lot of it goes back to Freud. Yeah, so she's like Shane. They get home. They're putting the groceries away. And that's
she's tired.
There's so much meat.
They do love their meat there. Like, you got to make the braai. Going to have your barbecue. I didn't see any supplies for chakalaka and pop.
No. And
that,
so,
I made. But there was a braai relish that he bought. So basically, Ronald bought chakalaka in a can.
He did.
It was tomatoes. And she's like, can't we just make this?
And again, that's his food. Just say, okay, great. Like, there's some things you don't need to have an opinion about. We don't need to know what you think about everything, Tiffany.
Yeah. And he's like, are you going to cook this? I don't know how to cook a chicken. She's like, well, what do you make for like holidays? She's like, I never make a chicken. I don't make a turkey. So I wrote down, this is interesting. I said, these are kids trying to play grown up adults.
Yeah, that is very true. That is very true.
And it hit me. And I mean, that's one of the problems. True. Remember, Tiffany's 28 years old.
Yeah. And she's got, and yes.
And Ronald's what, 30 maybe?
And she's parented a child and she's been a great mother, but that doesn't mean that there's parts of you that are emotionally immature.
Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. Because this is her first, this is her big relationship. This is the father of her child. And
Ronald, I didn't have sympathy for him, but again, just because maybe I see what he is trying to put up the groceries and like a little boy wanting to make mommy happy.
Yeah.
Boy, it really is a mommy thing. He's trying to put up the groceries as best as he can and be the best boy that he can be.
So Tiffany will be happy.
Yes, yeah. He's trying to clean the kitchen and be the best boy that he can be, because again, Tiffany married a child, not an adult. But Tiffany is still not letting up on him. She's out there saying,
I need to sleep.
I need to sleep. And I get it. She's tired.
And he said, come get Carly. And he's like, and she said, I need help. Now, when a mom says to you, I need help, you drop your shit.
You drop your shit and do it.
Ronald doesn't understand that.
But it's, again, goes back to communication that Tiffany, and maybe she has, and we just haven't seen it in the edit. I don't see a lot. This is just the deal, y'all. And I think sometimes if you're in a relationship and you decide you want to be with this person, if you decide you want to be with them and you want to make it work, if there's someone that's not going to take the initiative, then it's just your job in the relationship to teach them how and to teach them what you need. And I'm not saying you should do that, but if you decide to be in the see the relationship for what it is, instead of she's expecting Ronald to read her mind and know how to help her
and to change.
Ronald does not know how. You have to tell him.
He's not capable.
Like teaching a kid a sport. You need to say, Ronald, I need you to help me. And what I need from that.
Like Kalani did with Asuelu.
Yes. I need you to help me by, when I ask for help, can you do this and this and this? And it's exhausting because she's been doing it by herself and she's angry about that. And she doesn't want to say that in this moment, but she's basically putting out 2 years of frustration of him not doing anything, all in this.
Yeah. It's so interesting because using the model of Kalani and Asuelu as just an example.
It's like how to do it right, how to do it wrong. At least how Kalani Asuelu is doing now.
Right. And it's especially with a man, both Asuelu and Ronald weren't taught to have emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. They weren't taught how to relate to that. Mm-hmm. They were only taught to, this is how I deal in relationships. I don't need to be emotionally available. I don't really need to do anything for my wife because she has her role.
No critical thinking.
Right. It is just, I do this and my wife won't quote unquote challenge me or definitely she won't boss me around.
Yes.
And for Ronald, this was something exciting. He's never encountered a woman like this before.
Mm, yeah, that's
and,
true.
And, but it's, I still say these are kids playing adults. Yeah.
They are. And again, it's like that whole thing, halt, if you're, bless you, if you're halt, if you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Tiffany is all of these things. Even though she's with Ronald, y'all, she's lonely. So she's trying to say, I just need to sleep. I'm tired. And he says, what sounds like you're wanting to argue. Meanwhile, Carly is having a meltdown. And she's like, Ronald, I need a break. This is all I can do in the moment. And I think she's saying, I've been doing this all the time. And I think she thought when she first got there that Ronald would be kind of like over accommodating. Or she hoped he would be like, you know, just like, hey, honey, you just had a long flight. Put your feet up. Let me take care. She expected Ronald, but she never told him this. She expected Ronald to work his ass off for 2 or 3 days when she got there.
I don't know. Here's
I'm
going to
happen if
this
you don't tell
forward.
Him.
I don't know if she's expecting it, but she can't wait to take him down when he doesn't do it and shame him into doing it.
Oh, again, yes, that goes into being right thing. For instance, like when Ronald gives his child a plastic bag to play with.
I screamed out, here, play with this.
In Tiffany's defense, that's like one of y'all, the fear of God in me was put into plastic bags when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah, my mother would say, be careful with that. You'll suffocate yourself.
Oh. Not Ronald. Here's a knife and a plastic bag. Have fun.
So sharp pair of scissors.
I did laugh when Tiffany's trying to do everything and Ronald's like, I can't come with there. I'm mopping. And I went,
I'm mopping.
Ooh, you're mopping. Oh,
the floor was wet. The floor was wet.
You're so busy. And again, she's passive aggressively guilting him. And again, the thing is too, I think a lot of this comes from, maybe I've said this before about Tiffany. I think I have, but she's, I want to ask you actually, instead of just saying my opinion, who do you think Tiffany is more mad at, Ronald or herself?
Ronald is the foil for everything. So she's very mad at herself, but she's never going to actively with someone else there. She's going to direct her anger to whoever else is there.
That's what I think too. I think she's mad at Ronald, but I think Ronald's getting so much of it and feeling that because
while
Tiffany is like, what the fuck did I do? I'm so fucking
she's
stupid.
She's got so much regret.
She probably says, I'm such an idiot. And I just want to, we all make dumb decisions, you know.
Yeah.
Poodle can't go to Nevada for 2 years. We do things, but that's okay.
Yeah. Legal issues.
Won't be
state
doing
laws.
A show. Won't be doing a show in Las Vegas, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a bit.
Yeah. Statute of limitations runs out 2 years, though. So we're good.
We'll be good after that.
So he also says they're talking about Carly's diapers.
They kind of sit on the couch and they're having a chit.
And having a chit. And he's like, she even says, how do you think you're being supportive? This seems like a good tactic.
Not
however, it's going to go really wrong.
It's like a panther who's just watching you with their tail twitching.
Right. It's more argumentative than supportive. So
a better way to say that maybe would be, when you're being supportive, what is that for you?
Right.
How does that feel like for you? What do you do?
And that's when I said, no one speaks. You're speaking Dutch. He's speaking Kurdish. And then it's like changing a diaper. And he's like, nope, not. I don't change poopy diapers.
And I went, what?
Did you hear his explanation? This is so interesting. And this is so like hyper culturally and misogynistic when he says,
go ahead, but
if it was a boy, it would be different because I can't clean it the way you do because I don't understand vaginas.
I think this,
or girls' bodies.
It grossed me out that he said that. But as Americans watching this, I'm glad he said it because you've brought this up a lot. About how hyper-masculine this culture is and how it seeps into everything that they do
yeah.
or don't deal. That's what misogyny does. It runs our society and it runs the world in so many ways. And when he said that, though, because you're more familiar with South African culture than me, and so I always believed you.
Just a little bit.
But I always believed you when you said that. I knew a little bit, but when he said that, I went, whoa, this gave me just a deeper understanding of how Tiffany is the completely wrong woman for him.
Oh,
to be
could
with.
Not be worse. Yeah.
Could
but
not
you know,
be
that's,
worse.
It's strange. People tend to meet the worst people that they should be in relationships with them and fall into them quickly.
Oh, yes.
It is not – one thing I was going to say about misogyny and –
because Tiffany feels important. Tiffany feels validated.
Yeah.
They both feel validated by being together. Ronald feels validated because Ronald feels like he's a piece of shit, and it feels – normal for him to feel like shit about himself.
Yeah.
It actually feels weird for him to feel good about it. Whereas Tiffany.
That's very true.
That's like I know a lot of clients that I had that were gay and they would come out and like they would have sex and they would be dating and they felt it felt so dysregulating to them because we're used to being in the closet, hiding
and feeling
secret,
gross about it.
Feeling gross about it. That was the normal feeling was to
right.
feel like shit.
Whereas
Tiffany gets, she feels like shit about herself for making dumb decisions, but she gets the validation from having somebody that she can be smarter than
yeah.
and tell what to do.
I want to say about Dutch culture, well, mostly Dutch colonial culture, because the Dutch, y'all, they colonized like the worst of them. the worst. There's like the French and the Portuguese were really bad, and the British and the Spanish were horrendous. The Dutch are a different level of colonizers.
Really?
And colonialism is so close to misogyny, you guys. It's so close.
That's
it
true.
It comes from the same impulse.
So when you say the Dutch were worse colonizers, without getting on a 20-minute poodle soapbox.
The Dutch were the main. There were a lot of countries that colonized Africa, obviously, but mm-hmm. especially southern Africa. The Dutch were mostly, which is why you see that Boer culture, B-O-E-R culture, and that's what Ronald is represented. That's why they often have like Ronald has a Dutch last name. That's where a lot of. That's why South African. You hear the way South African accent is English with a strong Dutch inflection.
Oh, okay.
That's where it comes from. And also kind of African roots, and it's very complicated. But it's all leftover Dutch colonial shit. And that's why a little thing called apartheid, I'm telling you, if you want to do any kind of reading about Dutch colonialism in Southern Africa, it will absolutely curl every hair on your head. So I encourage you. I'm not going to go into it here, but I encourage that reading. That's why it's still the culture there, even though "quote unquote" apartheid is gone. That's what, as they say, it's not. It's still there.
And those things matter because that influences how Ronald behaves in the world.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Tiffany doesn't. That's why it's very important, y'all, if you're traveling or you're going the other way, learn about that person's country and that culture because it's gonna help you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or just tell Poodle. Let Poodle tell you.
I'll sit there and talk at you for about 20 minutes.
So they kind of go outside. Tiffany's like, I need a break. They go outside and they're fighting. Ronald finally comes out and he says, what do you want? She's like, help me for real, for real, for real. But again, like you really said it, they are teenagers in an adult relationship.
She does not figure it out. And he'll never understand her. She has to think outside the box in a way to talk to him.
She does. And Ronald's like, well, if I don't make it enjoyable, you're not going to stay for the holidays. And she's like, well, I never said that. And he said, I got it. I got the kids. I've got everything. I'll take care of it all my fucking self. And then
I'll do it all.
Ronald says it's like she's holding a carrot in front of the donkey, and she wants me to just go wherever.
That's exactly what she's wanting.
And that, but I don't think that's true. I think that's a misogynist statement.
I think that's I agree.
Because
I agree.
Honestly, y'all, the kids are your fucking carrot. When you have kids, you go and do where your what your kids are doing, and you and like that's what she's doing, and he's not at all.
That's the lens that he's seeing it through, though.
Yes, that misogyny that this woman is telling me I need to go here and here and here.
Exactly.
Where Tiffany is not seeing it that way at all. She's seeing my kids
what you should do.
My kids shit their diaper and is trying to rub it on the floor. I need to go there and take care of the kid. My son Daniel needs this. He's hard. Trouble with homework. Da, 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 da. Ronald doesn't see it that way at all.
And she's approaching it as if these are two people from America who are going to raise their children together with
They're
equal
not.
Partnerships.
They're not. Different culture.
Yeah.
Also, I think Tiffany wants to be a good mom because she doesn't care how it makes her look. She just wants to be a good parent for her children. Ronald wants to be a good father to get Tiffany's love and approval.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Yes, I think he loves Daniel. And I think he loves
both kids as much as he can.
As much, but it's just a different way. I think he loves his kids, but I think it's not a selfless love. He does it. He tries to be. If he didn't care how he was perceived and looked at as a father, he wouldn't have built the room.
No, that's true. It's interesting because he says he's trying to make her understand. If you didn't, oh, if he said, what do I write down? Whenever I have to write a lot, I'm like, the last little bit is hard to understand.
Oh, no.
in a lot of ways, what Tiffany is doing is not fair to Ronald, but none of this is really fair to anybody.
Yeah.
It's the situation that they're in, because Tiffany is threatening to leave. At any time, if Ronald doesn't play by the rules, she's trying to create some kind of achievement spectrum.
Yes.
And that's never going to work for Ronald. It's not really fair to do it to anyone, really,
mm-hmm.
to threaten to leave at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also trying, it's also because in that way she controls the power dynamic because she can leave, she can take his kids.
She's wrapped in anger and Ronald's wrapped in hurt for them to see any reality in this.
It really is, y'all.
Titanic of the relationships and they just hit the iceberg.
Somehow they have surpassed Mike and Natalie.
Well, Mike and Natalie is just ridiculousness and it doesn't make sense. And they're both on she's on planet Pluto and he's on Mars. These are two people and Tiffany is
who really love each other.
And Tiffany is, and both really love their children.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the two sparrows in the hurricane that didn't get through the hurricane. It flooded and it kind of beat the shit out of them. And
in a sandstorm,
not going to go well.
Didn't go good.
Y'all, we're going to take a commercial break. Oh. And when we get right back, we're going to be talking about Andre and Libby and the RV ride from hell.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
love yourself, never be ashamed.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed, have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
And we're driving down the highway. I'm going to kill my fucking sister-in-law.
Don't turn back, because I don't want to go, because I don't want to go to Maryland.
I just saw the Instagram meme of that whole, wow, you can really dance. And then the other person says, wow, you can really dance. You've seen that, right?
No.
You're kidding me.
I'm not up on my memes sometimes.
You're kidding me. That's like somebody saying,
you can really dance.
That's how I felt when people said, oh, what color is the shirt? Gray or green? I'm like, what the fuck are people talking?
The dress. Like, blue, like, or gray?
And I'm like, what the fuck are people? I was the last person, so I can't shame you too much, but this is like everywhere.
You don't know most things in life.
But you usually are more plugged into this, but they just did a meme of that. They did it. Basically, it's a song and everybody acts it out.
You can really dance?
It's a song of a guy saying, wow, you can really dance. And then someone says, wow, you can really dance. Y'all, send your memes that you made to Poodle. No. And then he went, bum, bum, bum. She went, bum, bum, bum. They said they both get started. Let's get to it. Something's on the dance. And that's it.
It looks like it is coincidence. I'm having to watch.
Y'all, this is, we don't have time for you to watch. I just was going to say, he's shirtless in the meme and he's hot and he's dancing. This is better. Oh my God. Please. This is like watching paint dry.
Is this it?
No, you're listening to the song, not the meme. You don't put down the phone. You're making me angry. Just stop it. I'll send it to you.
Oh, okay. Now it says, okay.
It's just people recreating part of the song.
Oh, wonder why. Why did it take off?
We had to keep going. I've got to go feed my father barbecue and he'll try to go by himself. I don't have time for this.
All right.
God.
I think we sound like the oldest people alive. But I'm like, let me see if I can Google this.
Y'all, I know you made
an ad for a truck.
Don't send them to Reality Gaze. I've seen them. No. Send them to Jake It or Fake It.
I will look at it.
Send them all to Jake It or Fake It, and then he'll learn. So, y'all, Becky finally comes out of the RV. And, like, Becky is kind of like, I don't want to agree with Becky, but she kind of says, bottom line, you said that you're not being shady, and I'm in the back hearing you talk about shady shit in front of me. And I'm like, well, that's kind of, I mean, it's not shady, but well, you are right.
What she objected to was basically she was trying to yell at her dad for talking about, for saying those people don't want to hear them doing that. So that's what activated her. But she started yelling at Andre because he started yelling at her.
Yep.
This is such a stupid, stupid fight.
I don't want to go like he said this because they're just yelling over one another.
It's interesting what she said. She said, I'm done with you trying to milk my dad. And then for some reason, my eyes flash to someone trying to milk Chuck like a cow. Like actually milking Chuck's udders. And he's just sitting there looking nonplussed. So she says, why when I, this is the thing, this is when she gives away the game, y'all. She said, well, when I started working with my dad a couple years ago, I had lots of ideas too, but he didn't entertain any of them. And I went, oh, so this is just a projection of your resentment towards your father.
That's okay, when I
got it.
And I was, we're clear. I was like, okay, I kind of see why you feel shady. Oh, this has nothing to do with Andre. Or what Andre's doing.
Everything to do with you and your dad.
Everything. And y'all, and we talked about that on the boat episode. We talked, this is all about Libby being the favorite, y'all, and these girls feeling, women feeling slighted.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's so,
a sibling rivalry. That's all this is.
And unfortunately, a very loud, aggressive Moldovan is there to always start fires.
I mean, Andre is, he is the worst mediator, communicator.
And I'll
like,
say, she's right. And later on, we'll talk about this too. Andre will never admit when he's wrong because that is seeming weak to him.
Never.
And I say this all the time that we think he's hot and we would totally. Andre is the last person I'd be in a relationship with, y'all.
Oh, I'd fuck him in a second. I'd marry him never.
He's the worst partner. He's awful. He's arrogant. Everything
he's
about
arrogant.
Him.
He's not selfish. He's self-involved.
Yeah. No, it's
like I think he's a good parent. He seems to be a very good dad and cares about his kid.
Yeah.
But
he's an arrogant asshole.
I think the difference is, I think Andre has like a good heart.
Yeah.
I think he means well, whereas someone like Ronald is just gross and
just
wants to control.
Yeah.
That's not Andre. Andre means well, but it's just, y'all, this would take, I think, at least 16 years of psychotherapy 5 days a week to get Andre to admit he's wrong.
It's that kind of.
Ain't going to happen. But you know what? He fucks like a Greek god, and Libby comes back for
and
it.
And I have no problem separating those two things.
Yeah, y'all.
Yeah, people are always thinking, there was a BuzzFeed, maybe it was BuzzFeed, like, of all the 90 Day villains, and they had Andre as number one. I was like, you know, I could see how people see him as a villain. He's not number one.
No.
Come on.
No.
No. We've seen a lot worse. Mark was on that list, but he was like number at the very top.
No.
And like,
it's just Andre is more popular.
Larissa was on that list. And I was like, kind of.
Well, we haven't seen.
I can see that.
We haven't seen Larissa and Colton's season.
Yeah.
And she was, from our understanding, she was quite volatile season.
Come at us. Tell us who your real villains are. Because we haven't seen all the seasons, but you know,
Mother Debbie wasn't on that list.
She was on that list.
Okay, good.
And Colt was on the list.
I just saw an episode of Hee Haw.
Darcy was
day.
On the list, and I was like, "What the fuck?
List is who wrote this? I want to come at
some
this
ridiculous
list
and, BuzzFeed ex-millennial or zillennial
idiot at BuzzFeed has their
like
head
24.
Up their ass. Doesn't know 90 Day from fucking Dawson.
Yeah, Darcy was on, and Jesse, of course, was on the list.
Yes, he's horrible.
But
Darcy, how dare you? How dare you?
They even had like
he loves love. How could a villain love love?
They had Anfisa on the list, who we haven't seen yet.
We haven't seen her,
but it was like. But people were commenting like how this should have been number one anyway.
Well, so Andre gets back on the bus, y'all, and he's like, I can't
this is a holiday. Holiday.
And so they end up arriving at this Airbnb in North Carolina, and they're all getting off the thing and basically they're all like, oh, what a horrible day. Let's just go to bed and tomorrow
and
things
it'll be tomorrow
will be better.
Cut to and we wake up screaming.
Lib the nut and they're
the
like
fucking gypsy boy.
And so, we're like, what the fuck is going on?
Ellie was obviously Andre had to take up as he said, I just took the piss. Andre went to the bathroom. And he said, well, I thought one of the other members of the family who's
again,
there would
he
watch,
won't take
would
responsibility.
Watch her. Yeah. And, you know.
Basically, let's just say Ellie was climbing up the stairs and she was halfway up the stairs and Libby saw her and she was about to fall back on the stairs
and Libby caught her.
And she bumped her head a little bit. She's fine, but she was crying. She was scared. Libby's freaking out. And this is not great for Andre. Andre in his head is going, fuck.
Yeah.
My wife is the only person who's on my side. And now surely she won't throw me under the bus in front of her sisters.
Oh, she does. Don't worry.
Yep.
Honestly, and that is, she was acting out of fear. And so, it was hard for her to watch her kid do that. But I think his excuse of saying everyone was around, someone would have watched. And I'm like, then just say, I'm going to the bathroom. Can you watch Ellie for a second? Yeah,
granted, I know you're literally in the Home Alone house right now with everybody, but you shouldn't just expect people to watch your kid.
I will say we all fuck up occasionally, and there's a lot of people around, and it's just unfortunate that it had to be in front of her family.
And on cameras. What Andre is going through, to quote Brene Brown, but because I've never seen him this upset, probably.
Yeah.
He was like, y'all, Andre's in a shame cycle. Mm-hmm. He feels shamed that he wasn't there for his kid. He feels vulnerable. He feels scared. Yeah. And instead,
he does not like that.
And he did. And sadly, he doesn't have the relationship with Liberty where he can say, I am so sorry. Nope. I fucked this up. And I'm really scared right now because our daughter could have gotten hurt. And
he would never be able to say, I'm really scared
again,
right
that's
now.
16 years of psycho. You know what? Let's make it 21. But I don't think I've ever seen Andre this upset, even more when they were in Moldova. I don't think he's been, because this is about his child that he loves very much. He was completely just like,
and the only emotional reaction is not fear, it's anger. That's even, the only way he can express himself.
And even at first, Becky even says, because Libby's kind of like going off on it, and Libby even says, or Becky says, Libby, things like this just happen. It's just going to happen. But
or was that Jen?
Oh, maybe that was Jen. I heard someone's voice. I think it was Jen. And then Andre comes in. He's like, well, maybe you want to call 911. I'm terrible father. And then immediately Becky is like, wow, you're such a dick. And he is.
And just the thing about it is, of course, the family is going to get involved because it's so terrible that, of course, they choose this to score points. Yeah, and that was... Did you notice at the end when Becky is getting in the RV that she stole a roll of toilet paper from the house?
Yeah, and I love that Jen's like, I'm glad she dropped a deuce before, not in this bathroom. And I was like, wow. Classy.
But the fact she just took the roll of toilet paper...
She gets the toilet paper. Y'all, the kids are already screaming full out. On the RV.
Awful. Awful. It seems like a nightmare to me.
And then Becky then shames her sister. And it's like, I think she's just freaked out because you're behaving this way, Libby, and reacting this way.
I think Jen said that too.
Thing one, thing two. I mean, I know I confuse people a lot, but can you really fault me for confusing them?
No, they're pretty similar in the way they approach things.
Let's just get this next part over with.
Grandma Julie, oh, she here to Barbara. I'm here, Barbara Shaw. I'm going to help. We're going to hold the baby. We're going to see the Princess Yara. She go. She don't do nothing about that move, Shaw. Ooh, I'm from Metier.
So I'm going to say something. This grandmother sounds exactly like the way you talk. And you were right.
I've just been waiting for someone with a real Cajun accent to come on.
She sounds, I started laughing so hard.
Now my you dad, see where it comes from.
My dad thought something was wrong with me.
Yeah.
It sounds exactly the way you do it.
You've just never really heard.
No, someone, I have not.
And hers is not even that bad. Compared to some people like if you're bio country, like if you know where like Henderson, Louisiana and like small towns like that,
I went
subbed in a high school near Henderson, Louisiana, and you could barely understand some of those people.
You said subbed and I immediately watched you make gay porn because I thought you were going to
say. So I was like, yeah, I was his sub one night.
I was the sub bottom at Hendersonville. So y'all.
Henderson.
Same thing. So Yara is at Gwen's house, but she's excited to talk to Jovi because Jovi's going to be coming home and Gwen gets a computer all set up. And y'all, I kind of love Yara and Gwen's relationship because like Gwen is, whereas Jovi takes it personally. Gwen is just like, Yara's a princess and she's shady. And Gwen kind of gives it back to her. But they kind of, I actually think they really like one another.
They get along. Yeah. I liked it when she said, you give me your old computer like you're a poor person. Now, that's Yara. And it's interesting because that kind of type of person is, for me as musicians, when I would go to music school, pianists, especially violinists, you meet a lot of Russians and Ukrainians. They were in my studios. And they're, especially the women, they're very dry. They're very cutting. That's why to see two people like Julia doesn't feel, sometimes to a degree, but Yara is a lot of what the Russian and Ukrainian women, they usually come from a higher socioeconomic class.
But Yara I think, with Gwen because she feels comfortable with Gwen and she likes her. And so, and I think Gwen knows that too. And so she
happened with Natalie. She's not with it at all.
She's cuckoo. It's nothing to do with her nationality. She's just cuckoo. So, and Gwen even says, you know, it's interesting having her. Sometimes she's bossy.
She's a bit bossy.
She said at one time she just raised her cup. She just raised her cup at me like, I'm done.
She a little bit bossy, Sha. She gonna tell me how to do.
She says it's a lot. So, but she gets a computer set up, and then Yara and Jovi talk, and they're just kind of like, how are you? How are you? You know, and then Jovi drops a bomb that they just found out that they have to stay for
three more weeks.
He won't be home
for Christmas. Ugh.
Until the day after Christmas.
You know what I wrote? I'm genuinely upset for Yara.
I wrote this is hard. I wrote, this is a lot for her, y'all. And she has every right to be angry. And she has every right because she says, Jovi, you promise. And he's like, I don't promise. I'm like, you did promise. We saw you on the video say, I promise you I'll be back and things will get better. And the thing is, Jovi needs to fix.
He's so shitty.
I think Jovi sometimes reminds me of me a little bit when I'm in my 20s. I didn't want to get people firm boundaries because if I gave them firm boundaries and I didn't meet them, I didn't meet those boundaries that I set, I worried about people not liking me and being mad at me. But instead, I confused people and I
don't want you to be mad at me. I don't want you to be mad at me.
I confused people and I didn't set clear boundaries. And then they got mad at me anyway and felt hurt by me. And instead of just saying, I can do this, I can't do this.
I have some more bad news that you got to move out of the apartment. The lease is up and I don't know how you're going to do it, but you got
to
go out.
I was going to be there for you to do it.
Move out of ASAP.
And I what?
I don't know.
I literally leaned in and went. Excuse me.
Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah.
So y'all, let's go over this. Yara moved to a country that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend already, our fiance was already going to be gone.
Yep.
COVID happened. She couldn't have the wedding.
Baby. Don't forget, she's pregnant.
Yeah. COVID happened and none of her family can come over to see her get married.
Pandemic.
She has the baby. In a pandemic. Then she gets COVID while her husband is away, and now she has to move. I think Yara's name should be Joe. Not Yara. We both said that the same. I don't know what.
Poor Job.
It's a lot for Yara, and I wanted to reach through the screen and give her a hug.
She would say,
don't touch me, but I would try to give her a hug.
Don't
touch me.
You look fat.
Yeah. You look sick. Why you eat that? You look sick. Don't touch me.
She's so basically saying, well, I'm going to find some place to live and it'll be on my terms. She's like, don't live some. It's like, I like living in New Orleans.
I like being near stuff.
Go out to the bars, go out to strippers.
And she says, nope, you don't get to make a decision. And you know what? She's 100% validated.
She's in the right. Yeah. And I think he knows that.
He knows he doesn't have a leg to stand. And Yara says,
I will decide everything on my own.
And Jovi says, I can't blame her. And Yara says, I have to take care of Myla. And then she says, who will care about her if not me? And I went, Well fair. Played. She's fair. Already, y'all, she's gonna, Myla loves her right now. She's gonna guilt
God, that
kid.
Baby looks like Jovi.
She's gonna guilt Myla so bad when she gets older.
Oh, it's gonna be rough. So y'all, it's
moving day.
It's moving day, Auntie Shrew.
Gwen comes over with her mother, Barbara. We don't need to talk about Barbara that much.
Gwen, she done none of this done. She got none of this done. Look at that. The boxes are everywhere. You don't even talk on the box.
Wow.
You didn't do an Artian.
She didn't. She didn't do a damn.
She did a goddamn thing.
Y'all, and I know that Yara has a lot. She has
She's
a baby.
A princess,
But I also know people that have had babies that have packed shit and moved. It's a lot. But y'all, she did nothing.
She did nothing, and she's taken advantage of the fact that she's been left by her husband in her country, which can't say I wouldn't do.
No.
She didn't do shit. And as Barbara says, she used the baby to do nothing. I literally wrote phonetically, and she goes, she used the baby to do nothing.
Yeah. Wow.
The movers are here. And she's very excited because she's going to be 45 minutes away from New Orleans. They're in a suburb.
And I learned this
probably
from
like Mandeville or something.
Well, I learned this from when I watched Southern Charm New Orleans. I really liked that show. I wish that was back. But, y'all, this is across the bridge.
Yeah.
But that's a big deal in New Orleans. Like there's at least the way they talked about on the show, it's kind of like people in LA, and you can speak more to this, but it's like the Valley versus LA. Like if you move over the hills to the Valley, it's seen as like, a big, like you're either leaving a part of your life behind or
you're right. I never lived in New Orleans, so I didn't know too much of that. I was in school in Baton Rouge.
But as somebody I'm asking you, and I'm imagining, and you can tell me if I'm hitting it right or not, for someone like Jovi, who's always lived in New Orleans.
No, it'll be on the weird. Others,
that's going to be really hard.
No, because
for him.
If you live in New Orleans, the whole city is right there. There's always something interesting. It's one of those cities that's I kind of understand though why Yara and New Orleans don't mix. She thinks it's dirty. She doesn't if you don't like a culture that is big into eating, drinking, and kind of partying, you're not going to love New Orleans. It's just not for you.
Yeah.
You can like some of the architecture, but if your favorite meal is sauteed chicken breasts and broccoli, you're not going to love New Orleans the way. And you don't drink. You might have a good time for like 3 or 4 days, but it's the city for indulging. And it's just some people hate New Orleans. I love New Orleans.
I love it.
Yeah. I love the people.
I did too. I love the people were very, very, very nice there.
It's a culture that really loves life and revels in life.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. We're fans. We'll do a live.
And all we're going to do a live. We are.
When we do a live show in New Orleans, we're going
to have security tailing me.
We're going to have to
show up.
Yep. I thought we're going to have to fly there, land, and go directly to the live show on a Friday night and then stay in the city for the rest of the weekend because Poodle going to be gone.
Uh-huh. Ooh, I'm going to be out there having a line up of boys.
C'est le bon temps rougé. Rougé.
Rougé. I'm here, boys. back in town. It's like Dolly. Oh, boys, I'm back. Hello,
Poodle.
Hello. I'm like going down a staircase.
Boy.
Like, what's that? It smells like asshole in here.
It smells like used tires, Poodle. Poodle. Poodle's back in town. Y'all,
I take my stole.
I will say, I just want to say once, even Jovi, or they're already setting up. Gwen's like, I don't blame where she lived. It's the best place for her. Jovi's gonna have a hard time.
And Mama Barbara says, oh, ooh,
you're right, child. They gonna snatch that baby up, yeah, yeah.
You keep that baby safe, eh? Y'all, that's the show.
Oh, I've been waiting for someone like Barbara the entire time Jovi and Yara have been
I
on.
I appreciated this for you. You deserve
it. I'm so glad that you're here finally. Like, and I'm telling you, Barbara is kind of middle of the road. Like, if you're in real Bayou country, the French is sometimes heavier, but that's a pretty typical idea of like a Cajun accent of someone who were in their 50s and 60s. That's what you would hear.
Y'all, I'm excited for next episode because we are going to be talking about Julia's gym audition. And it was an audition.
Very sexy. And that queen who is just watching her.
Save it. Y'all, that's the episode for today. Again, this is on Sunday night. Our next episode is going to air on Monday night at 11.
You get them a day earlier, y'all.
Yeah, you're going to get them a day earlier. So, y'all, that's it. From now on, well, we hope.
Everybody rejoice.
Things might happen in our life, but hopefully, at least for a little bit.
Can you feel a brand new day?
90 Day Fiancé is going to air. And then after that, you know what? Actually, 90 Day airs. What time does it end on Sunday night?
Depends on what time zone
you're in. We'll put it up 11:11 West Coast time. So that way we'll make sure everything is aired. So we'll go at 11:11 West Coast time.
Yeah,
so that'll go
be
up on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, we need to make sure.
All of our times are West Coast.
Yeah.
So on Sunday night, y'all, and then the next episode on Monday. Hey, go to realitygazepodcast.com. If you haven't left a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, what's stopping you, y'all?
Please do that for us. That would be so lovely.
Nothing makes Poodle happier. We are talking about Too Hot to Handle on the $5 tier. It's dropped this weekend, so we've already put two, maybe four episodes by the time you listen to this.
Yeah, we put definitely two.
We do want to say, y'all,
new podcast, but they're real dumb.
They're real dumb. Also, y'all, I have to say, I think this season of Lalu is going to be one of the best already.
Ugh.
It's so good.
Pickle meets her forever fiance.
Oh, I can't wait to see Pickle meeting her forever. Oh, that's on the $8 tier on our Reality Gaze.
Maybe they're married. I don't know. I think that's the one who used a tattoo to propose.
And there's like the one woman who went in the prison and she was very feminine looking and like long blonde hair. And she says, I look like a boy now. And I said that I bet she looks like Lori Petty in Tank Girl. And I was right.
She does.
I was right.
I don't know. She looks like a real, like the Walmart brand version of Lori Petty.
Yes.
The great value Lori Petty.
So lots of stuff coming, y'all. Be sure to check it out. And also remember now for our Bi-Curious episode drops on the $5 tier for our Patreon and Supercast Sissies from now on. We moved it from the 8 to the 5. So that'll be coming out this week.
Just say one thing to destroy you. To finish this, I talked with someone who worked with Lori Petty and says she is not a lesbian.
Really?
No. And she, in fact, when they worked with her, she talked a lot about black men. And so you have a lot more in common. And
well, maybe women can act whichever way they want, and I shouldn't stereotype them.
I agree. Shame on you.
People don't stereotype us.
Not at all.
Y'all, we call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love, Poodle, in all the wrong places?
Yes. And if you find yourself down in Marion, Louisiana, you come to see Bob. You're going to see Mama Barbara. I'm going to cook you up some nice crawdy. We're going to do some fricassee. We're going to have some nice beignet. We're going to listen to Bolto Relation. Woohoo!
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.